Well, it's a joy to come and share the pulpit with you as we consider God's word this morning. In many ways, it's very difficult and very disjointed for a visiting preacher to come and speak to you and to be really of lasting value in a sense, as we don't know exactly what God is doing amongst you. But we trust that the Lord will use the word and the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts this morning. And it's also by God's grace that Calvary and Bethany have bonded together in such precious brotherly love over the years. Wonderful to see so many familiar faces and greet one another with such affectionate care. This makes our relationship so much sweeter and more sensitive as we approach the Word of God this morning together. Well, the Lord bless you. Well, it goes further than that. And that really, as we examine the Scripture, it is my prayer that He'll take His Word and examine us. In so doing, we come face to face with our great God. And yes, we want to worship Him and honor Him. And yes, He also wants to feed His children. So it's my prayer that the Lord is glorified in the fruit of our lives beyond this morning as we feed and produce much fruit of repentance and good works. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Before we continue, let's understand the genre and the setting of this psalm. It's a psalm of David. It was written during hard times in David's life. Scholars say that Psalm 27 was written when David was fleeing the murderous attempts of Saul on his life. And there was a jealousy that wanted to kill him. And David had nothing but a faithful, fruitful servant to Saul. But Saul was jealous, fasperade. He was determined, resolute to kill David. It was a situation of horrible and personal injustice. Well, others say that Psalm 27 was written when David was fleeing from his son, Absalom, who had conspired to take his throne. Well, at that time, in a monarchy, the way you take the king's throne is by killing him. And so it is a horrible situation of vicious betrayal. Psalm 27 is regarded as mainly a lament psalm. Although there are wonderful phrases of thanksgiving. Well, question is, before we read Psalm 27, what is a lament psalm? Well, it's a psalm written when the writer cries out to God in a crisis. He is utterly, unreservedly pouring out his emotions to God. Not to dishonor or disrespect God, but it is a desperate cry for help in his time of need. Invoking God for help. Friends, I perceive that our generation has forgotten how to pray lament prayers. We have become such a consumerist generation, and our prayers are rather like a shopping list instead of pouring our hearts out to God in sincere invocation. Well, as we read, look out for David's repeated first person cry to God. Perhaps you've come this morning with situations in your life that are overwhelming. Consider applying Psalm 27 in your life. That's the theme of Psalm 27. Immediately, dear beloved, I want to assure you that it's okay with God when you approach the throne of grace with cries of emotion and lament, grieving, hurting. This includes cries of pain and voicing your emotions because of your difficult and painful situations. As we read Psalm 27, I hope that you recognize that David is not just calling on the Lord because he's in trouble. He gets an answer and then he forgets about the Lord. Well, just like today, folks come to God for a quick fix. They feel better. Do you know what that is called? In theological terms, it's called moralistic therapeutic deism. Big words. That simply means folks have an inadequate view of God and only call on Him when they have a problem, and then they contract with God to be nice people if He helps them. So a fruit of moralistic therapeutic deism is that God is not involved in my life except when I have a problem. They temporarily mend their ways and they feel better about themselves. Now, with that introduction, let's turn to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Oh, hear, O Lord, when I cry out. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Oh, you have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. For those who want to understand a little bit about Hebrew poetry, the ESV has divided this psalm up into strophes. Strophes are like paragraphs. And if you have an ESV translation, do you see the larger gaps there between the verses? They're very helpful in interpreting this psalm. Some strophes are longer than others. Well, Hebrew poetry develops the theme of the poem through these strophes. Today, I want to briefly summarize David's emotions through these strophes, because as we identify that, So we identify with David and learn how to respond. And then I will focus mainly on verse 14. Well, verse 1 to 3, David feared that he was afraid of his life and of the future. He was being overpowered by a strong adversary. In anguish, David is pouring out his heart to the Lord. Are you facing an adversary this morning? Perhaps someone is challenging your testimony of the transforming power of the gospel in you. And they hate you. They hate the gospel. Perhaps you are facing the enduring consequences of others' sin faced or forced on you. By that I mean perhaps you've been seriously hurt physically and emotionally in an armed robbery. And someone you love has been desperate, has been cruelly killed. That is a terrible, difficult situation. Well, personally, 20 years ago, my family experienced the awful pain that my parents were murdered in a home robbery. To this day, they have not been caught. Yet, in verse 3, David makes a statement. He speaks to himself. Did you notice? Yes, spiritual people speak to themselves. They're not schizophrenic. Their soul speaks to their hearts. Verse 3, though an army encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Despite his anguish, he looks to the Lord. Despite his pain, he makes a statement of faith and trust. Verse 5 to 6, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. What a wonderful response to crisis. Have you found yourself in times of trouble? In 1999, R.E.M. made this song. And I could see the older folks nodding their head. I think you know what I'm going to say. I know there are many here who do not know who R.E.M. is. You're forgiven. But do a YouTube search and watch the live recording of this song. In a human way, it's actually very, very emotive. It's called Everybody Hurts. Essentially, the lyrics are that everybody hurts sometimes. It starts with, sometimes everything goes wrong. And then the song offers human encouragement. Don't let yourself go. Don't let go. Well, Psalm 27 does the opposite. Let yourself go. Go where? Not to pop psychology or positive thinking. Yes, God's children hurt. Everybody hurts. Everybody cries sometimes. God knows that. And when you think you've had too much, you can't anymore, this psalm is for you. God hears your cries. You are allowed to pour out your heart to Him, whatever the situation. But where do you take comfort? Some run to the bottle. Others run to pills or relationships or perhaps from bed to bed, to whoever offers some comfort. Others hide their pain. You're exploding inside. Yes, even Christians experience this. Verse 11 directs us as God's children where to go. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. Yes, R.E.M. sings, hold on, hold on. But dear beloved, I discern that verse 14 is a precious reminder. And this reminder just seems so much clearer and precious when we go through hard times. We have so much more than just holding on, holding on. We are being held. The paradox is that hard times are good. That's our hope, our confidence. Well, let's explore verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Well, firstly, be patient while waiting. Many Christians are impatient while waiting. If things don't work out according to your plans and your desires, we blame others and we blame God. I must urge you to wait on the Lord. He's never too early or too late. Secondly, be biblically positive while waiting. And I use that word very carefully. Your strength is in Him. Let your heart take courage and feed on Him. The answer is not in you. The answer is outside of you. It is Him to you. I cannot imagine the trauma in the Middle East and Eastern Europe right now. But what about us? Those among us today. How can I be positive in such desperate circumstances? In desperation, even Christians turn to their own strength and their own ingenuity to try to resolve the situation. Verse 11 tells us, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain and even path because of my enemies, those who lie in wait for me. Well, what is the Lord's way, you may ask? I want to encourage you to do three things. One, pour your heart out to God in a lament in private. No need to hang up all your washing out in public. Start there in private. Pray with your Bible open. Read this psalm aloud. Pray it. Secondly, approach another Christian to walk with you and to pray with you through this. Why do I say that? Because Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12, 26, and if any one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. Therein lies a major mindset, a major change to our generation. The body of Christ is created to care for one another. We are the Lord's caring hands. Many folk have been de-churched. De-churched again, what is that? No, they've not lost their salvation. But they have stopped being actively involved in the local church because they have been desperately hurting. These Christians have not learned to trust the Lord, to be held on or cared for by gracious, loving, wonderful Christian family of God in the local church. I know that what it is to be discouraged and feel hopeless, unenthusiastic. I thank God for the compassionate, caring family of God during times like David. The Holy Spirit has inspired these encouragements because He knows we need courage. As I said, many Christians bottle up their emotions and cope with the pressures of life alone. And we have forgotten what it is like, what it is to lament. We think that God does not want to see us weep. We think that it's a weakness to cry out to Him with our deepest emotions. Brother and sister, you are not alone. You are being held. Our Lord has said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. The Amplified Version says of this verse 14, wait and hope for, and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for the Lord, and hope for and expect the Lord. Another thought in verse 14 is, be persistent while waiting. Yes, wait for the Lord, and expect the Lord. On one hand, yes, you are being held, but you too need to hold on. Not hold on to any old thing, hold on to the Lord, expect the Lord. Be pregnant with expectancy of His faithfulness, His trustworthiness, and His love for you. I must remind you what our Lord said to His sheep. In John 10, verse 10, He says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The purpose of the thief, the enemy of your soul, he tries to use crisis to steal, kill, and to destroy your faith in the Lord's faithfulness. And he does this purely for selfish motives, in order to gain his own desires. He'd even try to kill your faithful, fruitful labor among one another, and accuse the brethren, they don't care about me. Our Lord Jesus, on the other hand, didn't come for any selfish reason. He came to give, and we rejoice in His coming. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. To do what? Yes. Destroy the works of the evil one. The glorious gospel confirms that He gives. He grants life. He grants repentance so that we could have abundant life. What a joy. We receive eternal life the moment we are born again by His grace. And what a wonderful joy it is to witness this baptism of that transforming power of the gospel in my heart. And I want you to see that, Luke is saying. We receive eternal life the moment we are born again by His grace, as I said. And after we are converted and adopted as His children, we experience life, even the enjoyment and suffering this side of the Jordan. Just as the Lord spoke to Zerubbabel in Haggai chapter 2, He said, "Yet now, be strong, be alert and courageous, O Zerubbabel," says the Lord. "Be strong, alert and courageous, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, alert and courageous, all you people of the land," says the Lord. "And work, for I am with you," says the Lord of hosts. And the Lord encouraged Joshua when Moses died in Joshua 1. He said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." This is a God I serve. This is the immutable, unchanging God of the wonderful brothers before us. Verse 6, "Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and be very courageous, that you may do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Beloved, remember your enemy today. He may be at your gate. This is a holy war, a fierce battle, a spiritual battle, a necessary battle. If we have poorly formed ideas of what to do when we face these battles, we will be careless and much will be stolen from us." I want to encourage you from Psalm 27, verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Have mercy and be gracious to me. Answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of necessity on the authority of your word.'" He promises not to hide from you. Verse 9, "Hide not your face from me, turn not your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Our Heavenly Father takes full responsibility for His children. There are no orphans in the family of God. You may be dealing with verse 10, "Although my father and my mother have forsaken me." But again, look at His compassion and care. "Yet the Lord will take me up. He'll adopt me as His child." This is a God I want to serve. This is a Father I can trust with my whole heart. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in our labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. For those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose, I want to close by encouraging you as a family, as a Christian, as a local church, continue being a testimony. Luke, hold on. Continue. The battle continues. without apology, emote a strong aroma of the sweet gospel that the Lord is my light and my salvation. I will pursue Him with all my heart, no matter the circumstances. My Father in heaven, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you know and understand where we come from and what we go through. Thank you that this is not foreign to you, that you are acquainted with grief. You are a man of sorrow, our Lord. Thank you that you know our frame. You dwelt amongst us. You know us, our brother. Yet God, yet our Savior. And so we turn to you and I pray for those, Lord. This message is a message to them in such a time of need. Bless them. And I pray for those who are being equipped for their time yet to come to face it and glorify you. For your name's sake, amen.